We're very happy to continue our weekly feature on the roundtable entitled Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities. It is our chance to check in with the humanities councils throughout our seven-state area to discuss important ideas and why they do indeed matter. This morning, we spotlight New York humanities. It seems that so often there is this question about the crisis in humanities, but most of the talk concerns enrollment on college campuses and job prospects for PhD students. Is there a crisis in the public humanities, and if so, why aren't we talking about it? Mary Rizzo is public historian in residence at the Mid-Atlantic Regional Center for Humanities at Rutgers University in Camden, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Mary to the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. I'm delighted to be here.
A delight to have you with us. So give us a sense of how this affects us all, really.
Well, I think that, you know, we have to begin by really thinking about what it means to say that there is a crisis in the humanities. And, you know, I think your intro is exactly right. There are so many op-eds and editorials and blog posts now about how there's a crisis in the humanities, but it tends to focus only on a very particular niche of the humanities, which is that's what's going on in higher education. And I think, you know, what's really interesting to think about historically when we look at these, you know, crises in the humanities is they happen cyclically. You know, they happen every time the U.S. nation is going through its own sort of moments of difficulty. So, you know, we look back at the space race during the Cold War, and there is increased federal funding for science and technology, which causes professors in universities who are teaching in the humanities to argue that there is a crisis and that we need to start supporting the humanities more, which is what leads to the creation of the National Endowment for the Humanities in 1965. So I think we're in a similar moment now where we're looking towards technology to, you know, save us, and that's causing this reaction in the universities to try to kind of react against the importance that seems to be placed on STEM. But I think that's missing out on a huge other world that is also part of the humanities, which is what's going on in the public humanities.
So I'm trying to find a polite way to answer ask this question, but is there ever really, has there ever been a time when there hasn't been some crisis?
Oh, right. I mean, I think that that's exactly right, that it's like we're in perpetual crisis, which then starts to beg the question of, is it really a crisis? And I think, you know, the work of Ben Schmidt at Northeastern University is really interesting in this regard, where he's looked at data of about humanities enrollments at colleges and universities over the 20th century. And basically what he's found is humanities, people majoring in the humanities stays about the same. It doesn't go up and down, except in the 1960s, where there's a huge bubble, so that after that there's this drop back down to the sort of normal level. And so the idea that there's a crisis even in higher ed in terms of enrollments seems to be based on this kind of flawed understanding. So I think that there's a perception of crisis, and I think that there's a sense that, you know, it's a rallying cry. You know, we need to save the humanities. But again, I think the data doesn't necessarily support that, and that almost more importantly, that we tend to talk about the humanities in such a narrow way that excludes all of the other wonderful things that are going on in the world of the public humanities.
Talk a little bit about that narrow way that we define it.
Well, I think, you know, and it comes out of a couple of different reasons. You know, the humanities are a set of disciplines generally that are located in universities. So most of us, the last time we thought about the humanities as a concept was maybe when we were in college, because we were enrolled in a major that was part of the School of Arts and Humanities. But it's not really a concept that is used, generally speaking, in our daily life. So I think that the location in the university has kind of locked the idea of the humanities into often a very elitist or undemocratic-seeming sort of mindset, so that even though I would say everybody in the U.S. and everyone listening to this broadcast is engaged in the humanities every day in their life, they don't necessarily think of it that way, and I think it's because we've defined the humanities in this really narrow kind of elitist fashion.
The fact that, I mean, the whole idea or the whole message behind the segment is ideas matter. So the humanities matter, and it is having a real effect on real people in communities. And I'm curious as to how you, A, how you can really keep tabs on that, of what the real impact is, and be able to point to real numbers as to how it's being impacted, and then with that information, what you can do to reverse it.
Right. Well, that is the $64,000 question. I think that plagues people who work in the field of the public humanities is how do you quantify, do you assess? I mean, that is the question that comes up all the time.
Measure is the word I was searching for while I was flailing around there for a moment. But
right.
Yes,
it's like, what is the yardstick by which we measure something like the humanities? And I think that, you know, and I don't certainly have an answer to that question. I don't think anyone really does yet. But I think that there are two sort of ways to begin answering it, which, you know, one is to talk about the non-quantifiable, and I know that that's not a popular idea at this moment, and it's difficult when, you know, you're searching for funding for your projects, but there are really, I think, positive effects that are not quantifiable. You know, so for example, I think about a couple of years ago, I worked for the New Jersey Council for the Humanities, and we organized a wonderful forum on environmental justice in Camden, New Jersey. And we had a philosopher as part of our panel who talked about the sort of ethics of environmental impacts of suburbanites on cities like Camden. And a woman who lived in Camden stood up in the audience afterwards and thanked him for saying that. You know, she said that, "I've never heard anyone say that before, you know, to take that kind of ethical stance." And that was a really powerful moment, you know, and it really, you could feel it in the room, how powerful that was. So I think that there are the non-quantifiable parts of it. But because we do live in a world where numbers are important, there are people, very smart people, who are dealing with this issue. And there's a wonderful project going on now, a research project called the Humanities Indicators Project, where they're trying, a national group is looking at Indiana as a case study, to exactly measure sort of what is the humanities infrastructure, what are the programs in the humanities, and what is the impact that that has. And so I think as that project gets underway, I think we'll have much better answers to that kind of question.
And ultimately, one of the things that we try to do in this segment is to bring people in and let people know how they can get involved in their communities and in their state and with their state councils and their local councils and so forth. But how ultimately can the public be involved in solving this quote-unquote crisis in public humanities?
Right. Well, I think, you know, when we talk about a crisis in the public humanities, I really do think that we are talking about a crisis of funding. The National Endowment for the Humanities is basically the funding source for the state humanities councils nationwide. And funding at the NEH has, you know, pretty much remained static since the 1990s. That was sort of a high point in the 1990s. And I think that none of us would want to, you know, live on the salary we had in the 1990s today. So I think that understanding that funding is critical, and that the funding that humanities councils get nationwide is really so small. You know, it's something like the cost of a postage stamp for every U.S. citizen. So I think for people who care about the work that the humanities councils are doing in their communities, that the first and foremost step is to, you know, contact legislators, let them know that you care, let them know that you realize that, you know, cutting the funding for the NEH is not going to solve our economic problems at all. And it you know, I think it worse, it just further eliminates and erodes the public sphere that we have in this country.
When you have, if that idea is out there, that there is no funding and that everybody is struggling, does it have an effect on the programs that you do pull off? In the sense of that people think that they're troubled in some way.
I think that there is a sense often of sort of fatigue and exhaustion from the people who are working in these organizations, where they're sort of, you know, running at full speed to just sort of stay in the same place.
And rightfully so. I mean, you know, that's makes sense.
Right, absolutely. So you're constantly doing this justification for every little thing. And I think from the public end, I think what's really interesting is we also need to sort of broaden our definition of the public humanities, you know, because I think we see sort of libraries and museums and community centers and, you know, churches and religious organizations as all separate from each other. But in reality, all of those organizations are often doing work in the public humanities. And so people may love their library, or they may love their local museum, or they, you know, are an active member of their local church, but they don't see that as being part of a public humanities world. And I think that part of what needs to happen is sort of, it's almost like a branding campaign about, right, you know, what we are all part of the public humanities in all of these different ways, so that, you know, people can really feel like, yeah, this is relevant to me. This is part of my life.
Mary Rizzo is public historian in residence at the Mid-Atlantic Regional Center for the Humanities at Rutgers University in Camden. You can find out more information, listen to this segment again and listen to other segments and find out more information about the work by the Humanities Councils and about our Ideas Matter segment by going to wamc.org/roundtable. wamc.org/roundtable. Mary Rizzo, a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. It was my pleasure.
A delight. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.